because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
And this is Rewind for the week before the presidential primaries mm-hmm. and the Supreme Court election.
Yes.
And there's a candidate for president on in every county, every street corner,
J.R.? Every corner, yes.
There really is. Well, the Marquette poll was released, so let's use some of that data as mm-hmm. a window into some of the speeches that we've heard.
Okay,
let's start with the Republicans. Ted Cruz, 40%, and Mr. Trump, 30%. And Mr. Kasich, Governor Kasich, 21%.
The big change from the last poll is that it was a six-person race, at least back then.
Yeah.
Now it's down to three. So Cruz has surged from 19% a month ago to 40.
Doubled.
Trump has basically stayed flat.
At 30.
And Kasich has come up, but you saw Ben Carson go away and Rubio go away. So that's been kind of interesting. The other thing is, remember with polls, you're trying to get the right turnout model, and every time you put out a Charles Frank was out of poll before election, you're putting your reputation in line. He's been good so far. So this one is showing some interesting things, and this is going to be another test of like how good that poll is ahead of the primary on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's really intriguing. Do you think then that Cruz picked up more of the Jeb Bush, Carson, and Marco Rubio?
Well, Carson went with Trump, but you didn't see a big bump for Trump, so why not? Didn't mean to rhyme there, but where are people going? What's going on with this? It seems like Cruz, and it's interesting too, is this poll came out of the field on Monday mm-hmm. before the flurry of visits really started to happen.
And before Walker endorsed.
Before Walker endorsed Cruz. Before Trump walked in the buzzsaw. Well, as he walked in the buzzsaw, sort of talk radio Milwaukee.
Yep.
As he rallied in Janesville and tore down Scott Walker. I mean, like all these things have happened in the days afterward that have made it look, well, maybe that'll have an impact. We'll see. But it's interesting this is kind of happening before the storm. Yeah. It took place in Wisconsin.
Okay, time to listen to segments from each of these speeches. And because he's a leader, let's listen to a little bit of Ted Cruz on the stump in the great state of Wisconsin.
All across Wisconsin and all across this country, people are waking up and help is on the way. You've got a phenomenal governor here in Wisconsin. We're in the hometown of the new Speaker of the House. And you've got Senator Ron Johnson fighting for you in Washington. You know, I have to say, when Governor Scott Walker stood up and led the fight against the union bosses of the public employee unions, and when millions and millions of men and women across Wisconsin stood with Governor Walker, that fight inspired millions of Americans across this country. It inspired me. It inspired Heidi. It showed that when we stand together as we the people, we can beat the special interest and we can end the corruption. Yeah. And let me say to the 65 to 70% of Republicans across Wisconsin, across the country, that if we nominate Donald Trump, Hillary wins. And if Hillary wins, it is a catastrophe for the country. If Hillary is the next president, we lose the Supreme Court for a generation. We lose the Bill of Rights. Our kids are buried in trillions in new debt. And the stagnation of the last 7 years keeps on going.
Okay, JR, what did you think of that speech? I mean, here's what I heard. Basically, you take some of your national themes, you couple them to Wisconsin, you say, Governor Walker, there's applause. You say, Speaker Ryan, there's applause. And Senator Johnson, was that pretty much bread and butter?
Oh, yeah, it's easy hit. I mean, what's interesting about Cruz is that he has been kind of a evangelical voter kind of candidate so far, really appealing to the South was one of his firewalls, which didn't really work out so well for him, but if he wins in Wisconsin, he's appealing to a different kind of Republican primary voter than what he's got to before. So it would be a big win for him, not just because it would, you know, possibly stem the Trump momentum, but also because it could show he can win outside of like his home base. He can win somewhere different. So that would be big for him. And having Walker on board now, the Marquette numbers, Walker's still, you know, not so great, you know.
Popularity, 43%.
But 80% approval. With Republicans,
yeah.
And they're largely backing Cruz. So Walker's now in a TV ad, came out Thursday, that Cruz's campaign put out. Walker talking to the camera, praising Cruz. So they're hitching their wagons together very much in Wisconsin right now.
Well, the starkness of Cruz's message, we're going to lose the Second Amendment. Yeah. We're going to lose XYZ constitutional rights. I mean, is that just a play to to his base?
Oh, absolutely. It's all about base voters. Now, the challenge is to have an inspirational message, an uplifting one.
Yeah.
Look at his ads, a little more about, you know, I'm here for the factory with the calloused hands and the mono. So those are a little more inspirational. You need to have a positive message, but he's trying to motivate the base of, like, this is what's at risk, and we cannot give this nomination to Donald Trump.
Well, it was also interesting, in that same speech, and it's not part of our segment, but he talked about his dad having $100 sewn into his underwear when mm-hmm. he came to America. So here's this up from nothing. It's just pretty fascinating. Yeah. So, okay. All right, now let's hear the number two, Mr. Trump, with 30%, according to Mr. Franklin's poll. Let's listen to this.
I really want to win Wisconsin, because if we can win Wisconsin, we're going to put all this stupidity away. We're going to put these stupid, stupid people that allow, and I'm talking about basically politicians, and I'm controlled by you. I'm going to do the right thing for you, okay? So Walker came out today. I wrote down notes about Wisconsin. Look, he certainly can't endorse me after what I did to him in the race, right? Now, I wouldn't have done this, but would he endorse Cruz? What am I going to do? Am I going to say he's doing a great job? He's not doing a great job. You know, he comes in his motorcycle jacket, a big Harley. I love Harleys, right? But the motorcycle guy's like Trump. And he doesn't look like a motorcycle guy to me. I'm sorry. How do you like Paul Ryan? How do you like him? You like him? Or you don't like him? All right. I was told be nice to Paul Ryan because... Really? All right. Well, he's the speaker. He's a nice guy. He called me the other day. He was very nice. But I'm very surprised at this statement. Wow.
JR, help me understand why Trump goes to Janesville, home of Paul Ryan, and the first Wisconsin politician he disses is Scott Walker, who he vanquished, drove from the field. And when Walker got out of the presidential, he said, I'm getting out so others can mm-hmm. get out. Didn't say Trump by name, but... to beat Trump. So why did Trump go out of his way to diss Governor Walker?
Donald Trump doesn't let a slight go by, if you will, without being answered. Follow his Twitter feed. You'll see that anybody says anything negative about him, he likes to fire back and engage. So there's that nature that he has about having to, like, not have the last word. And then
that's piling on, man.
Two, it's an open primary in Wisconsin, so anybody can vote Republican primary, including independents. And Donald Trump is not just appealing to the conservative base of the Republican Party. It's looking for independence. The people who booed Scott Walker at that rally, those are folks he's appealing to. And, oh, by the way, look at Franklin's poll. These 17% who don't approve of the job Walker's doing, Republicans, likely Republican primary voters, they're backing Trump for large part. So that's kind of his base. Now, I don't know what the ceiling is, what that is your path to the nomination. He's at 30%, been there for a while. But that seems to be his tack. Now, I've got to tell you, talking to people this week, they've been amazed at the choices Donald Trump has made in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Charlie Sykes kind of opened the door on Monday to him, saying, we like to be nice and civil in Wisconsin. Donald Trump wouldn't even play nice with Charlie Sykes, one of the most influential talk show hosts in Milwaukee media market, who then had a combative interview with him. Trump went on more talk show hosts, had more combative interviews, and it just kind of spiraled from there. I don't know what... This is why I cover campaigns and don't run campaigns. I don't know what his strategy is to win Wisconsin if this is the attack. Then he makes his comment about abortion in town hall,
yep,
about penalties for women.
And then he walks that back.
A normal candidate would be toast after what happened this week in Wisconsin. Donald Trump is still chugging like nothing happened.
But I was in that room in Janesville because it's just such a fascinating phenomenon to me. The Trump and his supporters, there's anger and concern, but there's really a groundswell of support for him. But I want to land on when he hit Paul Ryan. I heard people, rhino, rhino, rhino.
Yes.
I was really surprised. As Janesville is the home of Paul Ryan, do you think Trump came to Janesville? Well, Cruz came to Janesville. Did Trump come to Janesville to put it in the speaker's eyes?
Good question. We had a reporter down at the rally this week who said, talked to people who are not from Wisconsin, who came in from like the Rockford area and that kind of thing. We're shut out of the Chicago rally that was shut down. Maybe it's not necessarily a Wisconsin crowd. Maybe it's people who are basically want to burn the place down. That's the other thing. These folks seem to be so angry, so viscerally angry, they want to tear the place apart. They're not maybe traditional Republican voters, the people who go to Lincoln Day dinners and cheer for Paul Ryan, Scott Walker, and Ron Johnson. it may just be a different breed of voter he's bringing out who don't normally turn out in Wisconsin elections.
Well, I interviewed former GOP Congressman Scott Klug yesterday, and he said, I think he's getting Trump is getting some crossover Democrats who are just as angry.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, and that would explain some of that. So it was just an amazing speech to go after Walker, and the way he took questions, and he worked the room. It was very, very effective. You're not surprised.
No. With Trump, the thing I'm trying not to buy into the conventional wisdom that Trump can't win no matter what, that if he gets the nomination, Republicans, they're toast. I'm trying to see the anecdotal evidence of he could appeal to blue-collar white voters who are disenfranchised or feel disenfranchised, who feel like they're shut out of the system, who don't like big banks and big government and politicians, and he could put Wisconsin in play and Michigan and Ohio. But looking at the polling information, it's not there. And that's the difficult thing for Donald Trump is you look at the Reince Priebus autopsy that he had the RNC do after 2012.
Yes.
Donald Trump has shredded that document and thrown it in the toilet, essentially.
Yeah.
Appeal to minorities. Where is the appeal of Hispanic voters from Donald Trump? Better appeal to women. Where is the appeal to female voters from Donald Trump? It's just not there.
And when you go deep into Charles Franklin poll, who most concerns you about being president? Trump, 57%. Trump. Then I think Hillary, 45, 47, mm-hmm. and then Cruz, 37%.
I have an aunt who's very Republican who I see at family functions now and then back at Christmas. We're talking about Trump. We said, I like him, but he scares me. And that's maybe part of the equation with him.
Yeah, but he's got some type of magic. Okay, now the Ohio governor who mm-hmm. says, I want to be the grown-up in the room, so let's listen to him be the grown-up in the room for this Wisconsin appearance.
I want to send welfare to Wisconsin out of Washington. I want to bundle 104 federal education programs and send them to Wisconsin and to the legislature. I want to send all the programs of infrastructure, the gas taxes we send to Washington, and I want it to stay in Wisconsin so you can take care of your infrastructure. I want to send the job training programs back here so that you can train people for the needs that you have in this state. And I want to send the health care, the programs for the poor in Medicaid, which is something we tried to do back when Tommy was there, back to the states. You see, because if we can ship that power out of Washington, then we can have a more focused federal government. We can achieve our way towards being able to balance our budget.
That was Professor Kasich mm-hmm. talking to us about how he'd govern. He went in February from 8% to 21%. He's clearly the... I have been there. I'm tested. I'm really the only one that can do it. To what do you attribute 8% to 20?
The people aren't happy with the options of Cruz and Trump, for one. Kasich he seems to be attracting kind of like the old guard Republican politics in Wisconsin, Tommy Thompson, Scott Klug, Scott McCallum, people who are maybe not as hard-edged conservative as what you're seeing in the base these days, people who like nice, like people who are likable. The issue for Kasich is he's making an argument of electability in November, which is true. You look at the Marquette poll, he does better than Cruz or Trump against Hillary and Bernie.
He does.
The problem for Kasich is
I think.
It's mathematically impossible for him to win the nomination outright. And I want to paint a picture for you in July in Cleveland. Donald Trump's at 1,084 delegates. Mm-hmm. Cruz is nipping at his heels, but several hundred back. Kasich's way behind. The Republican Party delegates take the nomination, give it to somebody other than Donald Trump. What do you think happens?
Well, Trump
Republican
says riots.
Party,
riots.
Riots. He runs as a third-party candidate or independent, whatever he does. He takes his people with him and goes home. The party could implode. So Kasich's whole argument to become the nominee is, I can win in November, but getting the nomination seems to be like... And the establishment in Wisconsin, the coalition, the Republican coalition, if you will, the talk radio show host, the activist groups, all these folks, they're going, Kasich can't win. Get out of the race, let it be one-on-one, Cruz and Trump. That gives us a chance to nominate Cruz, or a better chance to nominate Cruz and get him to 1237 or 38, whatever it is, to win the nomination outright. But Kasich isn't going away.
Well, but what I like about, what I find so intriguing about Tuesday's primary on the GOP side is this idea that, do you see some type of conspiracy between Cruz and Kasich? To put up a firewall to deny Trump a victory in Wisconsin? Are you a conspiratist on this,
Jim? I try not to be a conspiracy theorist. I've heard plenty of them in my career about this. There's the one about if you deny Trump the nomination, Paul Ryan steps in as the savior. You know, all kinds of like theories, if you will, that maybe Mitt Romney wants to, you know, come in and be the good guy. Well, they tried Romney once and he lost. I'm not sure it's going to work again. But yeah, there are lots of theories abound about what happens and how you deny Trump the nomination. But again, if he's almost there and doesn't get the nomination, that could, and could, I stress could, be a problem. Go back to 1952, I think it was, well before my time, but I believe Eisenhower trailed, was not the leading delegate getter going into the 52 convention.
I think you're right.
4- or 5-person race, but he still got the nomination because he was more electable come November. That was 60 years ago, though. Plus, it's a much different environment now where you're seeing an anger in the electorate that, I mean, I wasn't there in 52, but I don't get the impression that this electorate looks like the one in 52 did.
But if Cruz wins Wisconsin on Tuesday, does he break the momentum of Trump seriously in terms of a national impression?
Well, Cruz kind of needs to win. He's built up the expectations so much here that it's almost like a must-win situation because, remember, one, we go from Wisconsin to the Northeast. Cruz doesn't do well in the Northeast. That's Trump territory. Now, Trump may have created a mess for himself this week in Wisconsin that hurts that, but the expectation is Trump does well out there. So Cruz almost needs this win to prove, A, he can win outside of the South or Texas, that kind of thing, and B, he's built up the expectation. Remember back in Iowa, campaign manager said he'll win outside the margin of error.
Yeah.
In the South, he said, this is our firewall that will stop the Trump momentum. That didn't happen. If he builds up the expectation again and fails to deliver, that's a problem for Ted Cruz.
I'm really intrigued by where Trump went. He went to Janesville. Mm-hmm. He went to De Pere, the Fox Valley. And then he finishes up. Is he still on track to finish in Wausau on Saturday?
Wausau. He now is at Eau Claire, I think.
He's at Eau Claire.
Saturday night, 7 o'clock.
And he's not going to the Milwaukee dinner on Friday night. He's going to send
Sarah Palin.
He's going to represent Donald Trump, but mm-hmm. Kasich and Cruz are both going to be there.
Remember, Wisconsin Republicans don't do a simple winner-take-all process for the delegates. It's 42 delegates, 18 by whoever wins a statewide race,
yes,
or plurality, and then 3 for each of the 8 congressional districts. So Trump could lose the state, but if he wins the 8th, the 7th, mm-hmm. the 3rd, the 2nd, you can kind of blunt the loss a little bit.
Okay.
He's not going to do well in Milwaukee. You look at the Franklin numbers, yeah, he does poorly there because talk radio is all out.
Yep.
Going against Donald Trump, and has been for a while.
Okay, now we turn the page. Let's go to the Democrats, JR. The latest MU poll, Sanders 49%, Hillary 45%. Remember, they were deadlocked. Mm-hmm. Do you see any meaningful gain? They were deadlocked 1 month ago. We should put that in context. Do you sense any real gain by Sanders? Because this is still a margin of error.
Yes, because go back to September, he's down by 12 points, and it's been a slow burn ever since, where he kind of creeps closer, and got to within, he was technically up 1 point, but really within margin of error, yeah, last month. Now it's 4. So I always say with polls, they may not get the snapshot right, but look at the momentum, the change, and he has momentum. I mean, look, the crowds he's turning out in Madison, in Milwaukee, he's going places where there are big events.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton is doing more small events, so you don't have the direct comparison of, oh, well, she got 3,000, he got 6,000.
Yeah.
You know, that's a conscious decision to avoid the enthusiasm that the Sanders people have, especially on college campuses, versus kind of her more the establishment crowd going for her.
Okay, let's listen to snippets of what Bernie Sanders said at the Orpheum Theater 2 blocks from here just yesterday.
Right here in the great state of Wisconsin, as you have a governor who appears to be working overtime trying to suppress the vote. So I say to Governor Walker and all other Republican governors, if you don't have the guts to participate in free, fair, and open elections, get out of politics, get another job. So these are some of the issues. You've got a corrupt campaign finance system so that your governor gets subsidized by the Koch brothers right here in Wisconsin. In 2008, General Motors shut down its manufacturing plant in Janesville. In 1996, Johnson Controls shut down its Brew City valve plant in Milwaukee. Last year, Johnson Controls threw another 277 workers in Milwaukee out on the streets. 15 years ago, Briggs & Stratton was Wisconsin's largest private employer with 11,000 manufacturing workers. Today, it only has 2,500 workers in Wisconsin. Rockwell Automation has slashed its union workforce in Milwaukee from 6,000 down to just 300. I want you to know that from the first day that I was elected to Congress, took office in 1991 in the House, I have vigorously opposed all of these trade agreements.
J.R., Sanders said, he made it very plain. He said, if there was a high turnout in Wisconsin on Tuesday among mm-hmm. Democrats, I win. If there was a low turnout, I may lose this. Is it that simple?
Maybe not that simple, but he's got a point because a lot of his support comes from young people. They're not the most reliable voters in the world. Look at Franklin's poll. Hillary Clinton wins people who are older, above 60, for example. Sanders has great people, the 19 to 34 category. The question becomes, will they turn out? Now, UW, for example, spring break was last week, I believe, or the week before. So
they just came back this week.
They are in town,
yep.
So they should be able, you know, that should be a problem. But will they get there? That's the thing.
And that's the reason Sanders is ending at the Kohl Center this Sunday with mm-hmm. what he wants to be a...
He's trying to replicate
y'all
a little
come
bit
back on Tuesday.
Of what Obama did in 2008, where
good
he
point.
Stitched together the young voting bloc, the progressive voting bloc. And remember, the Democratic base has changed a bit since 2008. Look at Act 10 and that fight in 2011 with Governor Walker. It has hardened the edges of both parties. We are a more polarized state than we were before.
Yeah.
All right, and we've been going that way for a long time. But you look at the parties now, and the Democratic Party, especially its base, is much more progressive than it was before. Not that it wasn't, you know, well, that was moderate, but you see more of an edge to it, just like with the Republicans, and he's appealing to that group of people. I mean, it's not necessarily a Hillary Clinton a friendly electorate right now in Democratic circles. Now, that's not she's not going to do well, but it's more of they feel the passion for Bernie than they do for Hillary Clinton.
What's at stake for Bernie if he loses Wisconsin? Is he pretty much erased in terms of odds of getting the nomination?
Well, they go northeast. He has not done well there. He's done well in caucus states. Either out of them or pretty close to out of caucus states.
Yeah.
That's a problem for him. If it's an open primary, he does better because, you know, he appeals more independents. Marquette poll, I think public policy polling, Dem firm had one out on Thursday.
49% Bernie, 43%.
But with self-identified Democrats,
yeah.
She does better than he does.
Okay.
With independents, he does much better. He's bringing people in who aren't necessarily, you know, I don't say true Democrats, but aren't regular Democratic voters. So, you know, yeah, he's got to do well here. I mean, if he doesn't do well, where does he win next? That becomes the issue.
Again, you and I watch where candidates go. Hillary went to Madison, mm-hmm. Milwaukee, La Crosse, and Green Bay. Let's listen to a little bit of what she said at the Gordon Commons on the UW-Madison campus.
I'm so sorry about what's happening in your state. The attack on public education, the attack on this great university is just heartbreaking to me. I mean, I don't get it, because we know that education, higher education, is one of the best investments we can make. The financing of public schools remains primarily a local and state matter. But there are a lot of legislators who voted to go along with Governor Walker's plans that have decimated public schools, and they should be voted out, and people should run against them.
When she said she's so sad what is happening to her words, great institution, the UW, is that a direct appeal to try to blunt Bernie's appeal among young voters? Because you're right. If you look at the Franklin numbers, Democrats age 18 through 29, 83% support Sanders, only 12% support Hillary.
Well, it could be an indication that maybe Scott Walker's not very popular in Wisconsin among independents and Democrats. That's the other thing, too, because she's attacking Walker, and so is Sanders. That's part of it. It also strikes me a little bit that Clinton's more of a traditional Democratic theme-type campaign, education, university system. Sanders is much more on the anti-big business, anti-big banks, make them pay their fair
rigged share. Rigged economy, rigged campaign finance.
You know, system. A little bit different, a little more of the progressive angle versus Clinton, more of the, and a message that doesn't just appeal to the primary base,
yeah.
but also in a general election.
Okay, and let's look how they're going to finish. Bill Clinton is in Appleton,
mm-hmm.
and then Hillary's coming back with...
Founders Day on Saturday with Sanders speaking as well.
Right. Okay, one other Marquette poll of note on the Supreme Court. Justice Rebecca Bradley, 41%. Challenger Court of Appeals Judge Joanne Klappenberg, 36%. But 18% undecided. Now, here's what intrigues me. I want to ask you this question. Bernie is at 49%. I had thought, am I wrong, that a Bernie voter would be a Klappenberg voter, yet Klappenberg is 13 percentage points behind her. Straighten me out.
Well, a couple of things. One, these guys aren't very well known. More than a third, I think, of the electorate doesn't know who either Bradley or Klappenberg are. There's that issue. Two, this poll was taken on it came in the field Monday, just as Greater Wisconsin went up with its first ad attacking Bradley over the columns from college, the birth control column from 06, I think it was.
Yes.
Those kinds of things.
Yes.
So the question in that race kind of becomes two things. One, the Marquette poll suggests that Republicans are more jazzed up to vote in the primary than Democrats are. If that is the case, that's an if, then that should help Bradley. I think it said 54% of independents likely to vote on April 5th are going to vote Republican primary, 46 Dem. If that is true, if that helps Bradley. So there's that angle to it. The other thing is, Grader going up on Monday, is there enough time to burn in that message? Because Wisconsin Alliance for Reform has been up for about 2 weeks now, solid, going after Klappenberg, almost three. Much more heavier airplay, more time to burn in the soft on crime thing. The theory from the Grader kind of, or from some Democrats, is that with Grader, it could be a resource issue. You didn't have the money to go up earlier. Two, last week was spring break, week before Easter, kind of hard to get through to people that mm-hmm. time. So, maybe the best money spend. If you're a conservative coalition, you've got money to spend, maybe not as much as you'd like, but you got money to spend. It's okay to spend a week before Easter going up, where Grader has to kind of target its message a little bit. And then it's presidential week. We're flush with ads. Is it going to break through in that
right.
environment?
Well, do you think, though, the fact that Justice Bradley gained, even although it's only 4 percentage points, mm-hmm. is a sign that she weathered all the flack over her rants as a college student, and then when she wrote as a private attorney, anti-abortion, has her gain, does it mean that she survived those controversies?
Possibly, because now, let's be honest, we've both worked for newspapers before. People don't read those as much as they see TV ads, right? TV ads burn in messages, newspaper stories don't necessarily.
Okay.
So there's that issue. And two, the other thing is to watch. So the Marquette poll is assuming, again, if you kind of pull numbers out, a little more Republican enthusiasm. But look at Milwaukee. Neil Elbrecht, I think, said this week, three times the early turnout than what he's used to.
Yeah.
Contested race for county executive and mayor over there.
Yeah.
There are signs that Democrats are jazzed up, too, if they equal Republican. Again, ifs. That's the thing. What's it look like on Tuesday? That's a big thing to watch.
Okay. Let's only take about 30 seconds on the U.S. Senate candidates. Feingold now polling at 47, and GOP Senator Ron Johnson at 42. Remember, in February, Russ was up by 12 points. Mm-hmm. How significant is this?
Well, again, that poll, maybe Republicans were jazzed up.
We're dealing here with registered voters, where we had been dealing with likely on
nope,
the earlier.
We were registered before, so that's a 5-point gap with registered. It could be, Franklin said, that partisans are feeling more partisan about their Senate nominees and are coming home a little bit.
Okay.
The issue is Johnson's still at 30-some percent don't know who he is or don't have an opinion of him.
Yep.
So likely voters are those who say they'll definitely vote in November, 3-point gap. But it's hard to make a accurate, likely voter turnout model in March. So it is good news for Johnson. He needs a poll like this to tell the national folks it's a race.
Yep, right. Okay, let's go to your stock picks.
So, rising Wisconsin primary.
Because we matter.
3-4 months ago, I was like, well,
I love it.
Maybe Republicans will matter, but it'll be over. Clinton will have won this. Now, all of a sudden, we are the middle of the three-ring circus, if you will. We
yes.
are the epicenter of the national political scene this week. All kinds of ads being run. It means we matter. You know, if you think about it, back in 2004, we moved up to February to try and make us matter because we're too late in the process. Then we had to move back because of party rules to April. It didn't really matter in 12. 8, when we were in February, still was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
April, it was done. We matter again.
We do.
Big deal.
And so, feels good.
Yeah.
Mixed.
Scott Walker, he's taking a huge risk with Ted Cruz. If Cruz doesn't win, what's it about Scott Walker that he got behind this guy, got a TV ad for him, endorsed him, and doesn't win? Now, other thing is the Marquette numbers, they picked up a little bit. Again, the question of the Marquette poll is, Republicans more excited, that may influence the sample a little bit, but they picked up, but they're still at 43%. That's mm-hmm. still underwater. He's got time.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, check his federal campaign finance reports. still $1.1 million in the hole.
I saw that you reported
for the presidential campaign.
Right. Okay, falling.
So we like Wisconsin nice,
yes.
Right? Campaign civility has not been a topic that's well, it's not been, I would say, something embraced, if you will, by the candidates. Just in the Supreme Court or the presidential race. Supreme Court race has been kind of nasty at times.
A
little bit of dislike, if you will, between the candidates. But the presidential race, I mean, like, the things they've said about each other, the Trump factor, it's been fascinating to
Lion
watch.
Lion Ted, Little Marco, Sniveling Coward.
Yes, Leave My Wife the Hell Alone. It's
yes.
not stuff, I mean, we're used to seeing stuff in Wisconsin, but this has been a little bit unusual, if you will.
Oh, that's a good call in terms of. A week from today on Rewind, we get to diagnose all this stuff and figure out who won and all that. But one final note, you just reported that Representative
Al Ott is retiring. That means he is the longest continuously serving member of the Assembly, elected in 1986. A couple of the members were elected earlier but left and came back. That is 30 years of experience walking out the door. It's a much different building than it was when he first came in.
And he's the ninth lawmaker to announce that
ninth.
He or she will not be.
Two Democrats and seven Republicans.
I understand. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
And look for us to diagnose what really happened on April 5 a week from now.